is 14 minutes to 10. Gary Kutzer is the joint CEO at the Century City Convention Centre and Hotel. Is that right?
Almost there.
The CCCCCC. Anyway, no, Gary.
City Conference Centre and Hotel.
There we go. A wonderful venue. And Gary, I've got to say, it's my preferred convention centre because I can actually find parking and it's easy to get in. So, you know, you guys have struggled. Obviously, that whole the hotel and the convention centre is a Rabi project. Rabi, of course, behind Century City itself. Yes. And we don't need to revisit your P&L because we know you guys took a lot of strain. Some people had to be told to go home in order for you to be able to preserve what you needed to preserve. We also know that your convention centre was used to feed loads of people.
Absolutely.
So now it's come. Level one. What does it mean to you?
That's, first of all, thanks for having me back on the show. But, Kino, we're very excited. This is exactly what we've been waiting for and asking for. We've been lobbying through all the various related associations and asking government just to – we know it's going to be a long haul still, but just give us the opportunity to trade. Just allow us that opportunity to try and get back to business. If the lockdown had continued any longer – the effects are really starting to get really bad to our industry. And it really is bad, but this couldn't have come any sooner. We're really delighted at the moment.
So we know the Americans probably aren't going to be coming in. We know lots of countries where there have been spikes, so the Indians won't be allowed to come in because we know that they're getting 90,000 cases a day. So, you know, hedging your bets on international tourists is not really going to be a good thing, but you guys have been very previously. You were supported by locals, I think, more than most other places, isn't it?
Yeah, completely. Our whole business model was framed around the local national corporate database. Yeah. Being a privately owned company, we didn't have the luxury of going after the association markets in the beginning where they weren't able to pay big deposits but wanted to hold space for years up front.
Yeah.
So we went after and we were very successful being, as you said earlier, in a corporate hub, Century City, now becoming known as the center of Cape Town and with the big regional offices of ABSA, and you've got Discovery, MTN, Philip Morris just on our doorstep, just to name a few. So absolutely. So we certainly see domestic corporate business coming back first. We're already seeing a little bit of weekend leisure business, which was great over the last couple of months. But it is going to, as you said, we've still got a long road ahead of us.
Yeah.
And for the big international planes to start landing at Cape Town International.
I mean, what type of partnerships do you form in that area? Because it's all about value these days. Well, it should have been all the time around, right? So, you know, you've got your restaurants and what you offer there, and it's wonderful. But you also have other things in and around the area. So are you guys working together to put a value package together for people so that locals can spend the weekend at your hotel and then, you know, take advantage of some of the other offerings as well?
Definitely. So we've got throughout – most of the hotels in Century City are still closed. They're only opening scheduled to open on the 1st of October.
Yep.
But certainly from a leisure point of view, Century City has got a lot to offer, and with the restaurants and bars on our doorstep, running trails, canoe trails, obviously the mall always plays a big factor. But yes, we've got various products and packages available for the domestic leisure market, weekends away, one night away, special occasions, birthdays, etc. People are, you know, you might still be living in Cape Town, but just want to get away for one night, a special occasion, perhaps go to a movie and have a spa treatment at the Life Day Spa across the road from us. And those opportunities are certainly still there.
I'm just thinking, you know, as far as you can, putting a shuttle together. People can, you know, stay over at the hotel and you put a shuttle together and end up taking them through to a national park somewhere and put a package together for, let's say, a night. Then you come back and you have another night at the hotel and you had a good weekend, for example.
I think it sounds wonderful. And Keen, I think I'm going to have to recruit you as part of our marketing team soon.
Listen, I've been so passionate about tourism. I'm going, come on, how do we reimagine this stuff? Now, from the one thing you guys have done, looks like a movie studio, because when James Foss, the Mako member for Economic Opportunities, told me about what you guys were doing from a conferencing point of view, you got this thing that looks like a Hollywood rig, and then you've also spaced your seats very, very nicely, you know, so that people can do their conferences. Just very quickly, before we go to the premiere, just tell us a little bit about that setup.
Yeah, so we partnered with the company, and we've got it's a 13 by 3 meter backdrop LCD LED screen.
Yeah.
So you've got the green screen capabilities. But essentially, we had to get onto virtual conferencing. So we launched the Century City Virtual Conference Center, numerous studios, and obviously now we're delighted that the numbers allowed 50 was, you know, in a venue like ours where you've got over 2,500 square meters. What also we've been asking for is that the numbers get linked to your square meterage, which was also great news from our president last night, and that you can now do up to 250 people in a venue. So that was encouraging. So now we can start having these hybrid events with the stage. You can be broadcasting live or pre-recorded to hundreds of people around the world, literally.
Yep.
And you can still have 250 people now in the venue as well. So
it's literally all about the content. If you have compelling conferences and you've got your 250 people, it works like a Udemy model at the end of the day. You can discount the tickets for people internationally who can still come in and have that experience and still network and do the rest of it.
Absolutely, and the technology that's available now in terms of little breakaway sessions and sponsor pages, exhibitor pages, registrations and so on, we've all had to catch up very quickly over the last couple of months, probably about 5 years ahead of schedule. But it is quite amazing now that you can have these conferences and networks and do business. But nothing beats face-to-face, as I've said to you before, but certainly as a second prize.
You can have your cake and eat it. You can have hybrid. So.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Well, Gary, I'm glad you guys are on level one. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for the support.
Absolute pleasure, man. That's Gary Kutzer there, joint CEO of the Century City Convention Center and Hotel. Premier Alan Windey, you know, he's always very kind. He squeezes us in between meetings. And Alan, how are you doing?
As long as he doesn't tell the people in the meeting that I've just lowered the volume, so I can't hear what they're doing, and they think that I'm in the meeting.
Oh, my word, but it's really good to have you on. Thank you very much for making time to chat to us today. The president obviously announcing level one. How do you see this rolling out, and what's your take on his announcement yesterday?
Okay, so you know, obviously I was in a meeting with the other premiers and the president 2 days ago. So we were part of this discussion, and perhaps also use the opportunity to thank the team there and the president for taking all of our considerations on board as well. And you know, I don't want to say too much more about that because those meetings are obviously behind closed doors. But but the point is that people listen and we talk about it and we come to an agreed upon position. And of course, I support it. I think I have two messages. The one is we have to move forward and claw back as many jobs as possible. Mm. We now have more of an opportunity. Please don't slip back on the habits that we have. Please don't cause us to have a second wave like we're seeing in so many other parts of the world, where people just, you know, they think, oh, well, it's over now. And so that is all of our responsibility. And we owe it to the people who've lost their jobs. We owe it to those businesses that have closed down. We owe it to them that by keeping our distance, by wearing our mask and washing our hands and slowing the virus, if it does come in any area, managing it, that's what we'll do from the government side. We'll monitor, and then we need citizens to manage again if it should start to raise its head, because then we can show the world that we can actually manage it here. We've done extremely well up until now, and then we'll get those jobs back. The economy will grow.
Now, Premier, we always talk about economy, and I mean it's probably the one discussion we love having. And yeah, there's sometimes a contestation here, but I mean the president talks about this great economic recovery. I'm hoping we don't hear more gobbledygook around, you know, expanded public works programs and building more nonsense, you know, and the fact that it's now in NEDLAC worries me as well, because it's the unions and the suits and government getting together and trying to figure out what we need to do to stimulate an economy, when the people who can play, not the silver bullet, but can play a significant role, on micro enterprises. And Raja Bidin and myself were laughing last week when he said the president needs to do the right thing. So when it comes to economic recovery, what are you hoping for?
So we'll talk a little bit about that today again in our press conference on our DigiCon. 2 weeks ago, we started the 100 days of our jobs now from a government point of view. It's got two legs. I mean, there is a component of how do we help households? How do we get, you know, some money into a household that has lost their job, lost the hope, lost dignity, and not able to, you know, keep food on the table? And those are the sort of quicker, short-term government interventions. How do I get that electrician back in and repairing stuff in a school building? How do we get even our schools painted? Or, you know, we've got to get some of those small contractor companies up and running as quickly as possible. But the third biggest job loss arena, first was hospitality, second construction, and third is informal. And so what is it in the informal space? And I mean, I don't know what all those answers are, but it's got to be, how does government enable and not get in the way? I do notice that people are complaining to the local municipality to say, the guy next door is making a lot of noise in his garage. Please come and shut him down. But he's the guy that lost his job and he's actually probably doing some kind of afternoon or evening work to try and put food on the table. We need to work together. But also he must know that he mustn't be grinding at 11 o'clock at night and welding and spray painting and whatever else. Because if he's doing that at 11 o'clock at night, his neighbor's going to get upset. And we've got to do this together. We've got to. So we probably have to relax some of the rules. But that means a discussion.
Yeah, and so the DA has now obviously at a policy level decided that race is not going to be part of, you know, its makeup when it comes to, you know, economic activity, et cetera, et cetera. How does that impact on the government you run in the Western Cape?
Well, of course, it's got to be, you've got to have redress. So you've got to recognize the injustices of the past. And we do know that those injustices of the past, I mean, have you know, been detrimental for the opportunity for specifically black people. But how do we create an environment that says, you know, whomever you are, you can utilize these opportunities to, and it's not getting the elite the contract, it's getting that guy whomever he is who has lost his job the opportunity to get back on his feet again.
Well, Premier,
that's what we've got to get in place.
Listen, so I know it's all you've got time for. You've got to get back. You've been muted, and people think you've gone crazy because your lips are moving, and they don't know who you're talking to. So, let's. But we'll continue our discussion on economic recovery. Your plan for the rest of the day in 10 seconds.
Well, I've got a meeting right now with Minister Mania straight after this meeting that I'm connected to, and he's already in my office. Then we've got a press conference. Then I've got a parliamentary sitting with debates and answering questions. And then I'll meet an ambassador.
Rather you than me on the parliamentary sitting. Have a good one. Premier Alan Windey there, Premier of the Western.